Let me talk to the men out there listening real quick. Guys, are you suffering from erectile dysfunction, fatigue, decreased muscle tone, lack of energy, low libido, brain fog, sleep disturbances? Hey, low libido? Ask your girlfriend or wife. She'll let you know if you're suffering from that or not. That's sex drive. If you'll text my name, Clay, in all caps to 601-327-8550, 601-327-8550, Men's Health of Mississippi and the Clay Edwards Show are going to hook you up with a free testosterone screening. They're located in Madison, Mississippi at 120 Fountains Boulevard. You can check them out online, menshealthms.com. But one more time, text my name, all caps, Clay, to 601-327-8550 and get your free testosterone screening scheduled today. Enjoy the rest of this show. Boom, shakalaka, boom. You've tuned in to a Two for Tuesday edition of the Clay Edwards Show. You got me, Clay Edwards. You got Sean Yerkron. That's the two. We are live here on 103.9 FM WYAB, streaming worldwide at WYAB.com, as well as the TuneIn app and Alexa. Just search WYAB. We'd love to have you follow along on social media today. I am on Twitter, X. It's now officially X. Twitter is dead. I'm on X. From this day forward, we will now just call it X, like your girlfriend and wives. X. Or boyfriends and husbands. I'm not here to judge. So, anyway, at save JXN. Sean's not as active over there, per se, but you can reach out to him. Sean, tell him your X handle.
It's E-R-E-N-S. Turk, Aaron S. Turk. Kind of weird. I don't know why I wrote it that way. Because I don't use Twitter. That's why I just wanted to set up a...
It was more of a looking tool than...
Yeah, it was for sports scores, pretty much, for the most part. That's what it's really good for that.
It's great. It's great. You know what? We get caught up in the polarization of politics, but these tools like Twitter, removing all their crazy former ownership, censorship stuff aside, if you're outside of politics, if your niche was anything else, there was a world of that there.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of that.
If it's gaming, if it's sports, if it's car culture, if it's anything, there's a Twitter sphere for it.
Yeah, and then it's kind of like Reddit that way. You know, Reddit, there's just something for everyone on there. I mean, it's not the real time updating the way Twitter does, but it's if you want to find something you're interested in, Reddit's a great place to go to too.
Yeah, you know, and I think like Facebook groups are great, especially for specialty topics. Like, you know, I like wrestling. It's one of my many vices. And I don't know a whole lot of local wrestling fans, but I can go in one of these groups with a worldwide membership and be a nerd in there for a minute.
Oh, yeah. I'm the same way with the Miami Dolphins. There's not Miami Dolphins fans in the metro area, so I go on those groups and everybody, you know, you can do meetups too when you go to the away games, and they got like bars I'll tell you to go to and everybody watches. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, like anytime WrestleMania is near, there's always... Or wherever it is, but especially if it's in New Orleans or Atlanta or anywhere like that, you know, you can go and you can kind of, it's like Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why I think Comic-Con's so cool, because it's a chance for you to go be a nerd.
Have you been to Comic-Con here?
No. I'm planning on going. I know I'm thinking about going to the one on the coast.
There's one next month.
Sting is going to be at the one on the coast, and I want to go meet Sting.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I mean, yeah, I think it's always in June, isn't it, the one here?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I was going to go, you know, Billy Dee Williams was there a few years ago. I thought about going to that one and I ended up missing it. But it was apparently like it was, you had to pay, I don't know, like $300, and he would only take a photograph with you if he was wearing his mask. I was like, that's a little ridiculous.
these celebrities. I hate celebrities.
Yeah, but... I knew you'd hate that. I was, you'll love this. So I was out there, you know, I get on the Belhaven Trail yesterday and I was at my rucksack on and there's a guy walking by me with his mask on. I was like, we're outdoors. It's 2024. I thought it was kind of funny.
So let's get a quick update. Speaking of Belhaven, have they burned any crosses in your yard or anything since you called them all racist the other day?
No. I didn't call them racist, by the way. You called them racist. I said they're accessory before the fact to murder. That's what I lumped them all into that.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure you called them racist.
I mean,
We'll pull the tape.
I said they. I said their denial of the crime problem is caused a lot of more, you know, exacerbated crime issues and furthered murders and armed robberies, which I think that's true.
All right. Guns and Gear text line 769-241 1944. Would love to hear from you guys this morning. The Mazda of Jackson phone line, 601-879-0002. Be sure to get out to Mazda of Jackson, buy you a vehicle. You're going to get a free powertrain, limited powertrain, lifetime warranty, and a 43-inch TV with all purchases. You can't beat that. You're also going to get the owner's cell phone number, so you can call them directly if you have any problems. I'm telling you, I was talking to a buddy of mine yesterday that spent a lot of time in the car business, and we were just, that topic came up. He's like, really? They give their phone number out? He's like, that's cool. He said, that's somewhere I could work. I was like, yeah, same here. Same here. I was like, because it eliminates the salesman from the crate, you know, from the contentious aftermath of a issue after the sale. And that's always a good thing. So check them out online, MazdaofJackson.com. But the phone line to call us is 601-879-0002. Sean, let's just jump straight in. I'm going to go a little out of order based on my show prep here.
Okay.
But the Smithville Stadium stuff, it's taken Chalkway a couple days. He had to figure out exactly how he wanted to say it, but he finally, in fact, did get around to blaming it on, in fact, racism. Here's a story from WABT. It looks like the cigar shop is planning to go ahead and move out of the Smithwills. Now, you know, I got a lot of thoughts about this. Don't go thinking they're just great, amazing Jacksonians, and they're just taking one for the team here. I got some suspicions behind this. Here's the story on WABT this morning.
This business here behind me is planning to close its doors for good here at the park in hopes that will allow the stadium to continue operating without any problems in the future. But Mayor Lumumba, on the other hand, says that this legislation here is yet another power grab made by the state.
The month of June, we celebrate our 10-year anniversary here at Smithville Stadium. After our 10-year anniversary ending with the Soul City Smoke Fest, we will move from this location.
Churchill Smoke Shop, operating on the parcel of land under legislation scrutiny, is packing up to leave the Smithville Stadium grounds. And according to the Hank Aaron Sports Academy CEO Timothy Bennett, it was their idea.
It wasn't just the Atlanta Braves calling me at midnight saying, what's going on over there? It was Churchill Smoke Shop saying, what is it that we can do to make this go away?
While Bennett admits that he doesn't know if this will make the issue go away, they wanted to make sure there were no discrepancies in their contract, truly because they want to continue the legacy Smithville Stadium has offered for the past 50 years.
We want to make sure that everything we do is about inclusion. For the first time in a very long time, the kids at Grove Park, the kids at Level Woods, the kids all over Jackson have a place to play, and it's Smithville Stadium.
The legislation, or House Bill 1983, signed by Governor Reeves, is this year's bond bill. It includes money for projects around the state. But at the end of the bill, it directs the Attorney General to take all legal action to revert ownership of this parcel of land back to the state. Mayor Chokwe Antar Lumumba calling it
Here it comes.
Descending and racist.
Oh, there is
a barrage of attacks on the city of Jackson. Not only do we not get the resources we need from the state, but continuously we're fighting to protect our airport. We're fighting to protect our water system. We're fighting to protect now Smithville Stadium.
Sean, why do you think they're constantly having to fight to protect those three things?
Because of incompetence?
Ding, ding, ding.
That's what I'm going to go with.
The airport, a disaster.
Is it, though? I don't know. It's so long ago when that happened. I guess I can't remember what the number. Kingfish ran a really good series about this back then, and I just don't recall.
Why don't we just go out there?
Yeah. I mean, I've never had a bad experience at the airport, I guess what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, I've never had a bad experience because, you know, the airport's not responsible for the Southwest counter.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I mean? I mean, they're not responsible for the customer service. God forbid if they were. Have you ever tried to do business with the city of Jackson?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. But just like the fact that it's basically a ghost town out there.
Yeah, it's not like a – I mean, it's not a, I mean, not a hustly, bustling airport, but we also are in a small market. I don't know. You know, I don't know enough about airports, about how that works.
Trust me on this one. It's a disaster. Obviously, the water's a disaster.
Yeah, that's what I take issue with. And when he says the resources we need, I'm like, what more do you want the state to do? They gave you a police force. They gave you a new water – fix the water plant. I mean, what else do they – you know? The state needs to hire a garbage service too, I guess.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's let him get to the crescendo here of calling it racism.
The legislation indicates that the land was deeded to the city in 1944 under the condition that it is used for park purposes only, given why Churchill has decided to leave, because they are not a park purpose.
It's vague. I don't know if it is. I don't even know if it is an issue. It's so vague, but it's just not worth risking the license and everything he's got going with Major League Baseball for the city of Jackson and the state of Mississippi.
Bennett says he won't take a side between either the city or the state. But on the other hand, Mayor Lumumba says that if it comes down to litigation, they plan to fight this hard, just as they fought other things in the past.
Sean, have they won anything that they fought?
I don't think so. I know the Fifth Circuit just ruled in the airport thing. I think they dismissed it because they said that the airport commissioners had changed, and then they tried to amend it. I'm not sure the status of that. I haven't looked at it in a long time.
So I thought that it had something. I thought there was a quote here about Chakwe saying it was racism. They said that he said it was racism. I guess they decided to clip it out. Kingfish has got a link here where it quotes the mayor as well. Of course, blaming it on racism. Let me pull up that real quick. Legislation. Yeah, he said. Mayor Lumumba called the legislation paternalistic and racist. Paternalistic. That's the first time I've ever heard that word used in a sentence.
Yeah, I don't know what that means. I'm going to be honest with you.
Maybe there's a pattern of.
Is there a pattern in the state saving the city? I think there's a pattern of that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there seems to be a pattern. I got this question about the Smith-Wills thing, and I'm sure, look, when we're talking about the city of Jackson, I'm sure they've messed something up. I think we all agree that, we can't name one thing they're doing well. So, but I will say this, if the state's using the bar as the excuse, there was the left field lounge there forever. I mean, so what's the difference? That's my only question.
Well, and I'll just say this, the city was black ran then.
Yeah, it was.
And the state let them get away with it for 10 mm-hmm. plus years. So they've been getting away with this
right.
for 15, 16, 17, almost 20 years. You can look at it like that, too.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think about that way.
I mean, it wasn't like there was white people running the city then, and no, somehow it was like some racist curveball here.
I mean,
the blacks got control now, got to close down the left field lounge idea.
Yeah, because I remember that was like 03 to 05-ish, 07. It was open those years.
Well, let's just say 03 to 10.
Yeah, it was open
somewhere in that window there, because it was when I had 105 downtown.
Yeah. And I've been to Churchill many times. One of my friends is a part owner in there. He's a lawyer, and I've always had a good time there. I've not noticed anything, but I haven't been in several years.
Well, and let me tell you this. He talks about he's going to just close it down in June and find a new location because he wants to do his part to help them keep the thing out there. I'm calling BS on that. No successful business owner is going to close down without a fight. His lease is up or it ain't making no money.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's...
Or they came to him and said, hey, you got to go, mm-hmm. and we're going to make it right over here with one of our other abandoned properties, and we'll do something together.
Is that same...
We'll make you whole.
Yeah. I mean, no, I think you're probably right about that. He's not just going to say, I'm going to shut down my super profitable business and without a fight, with some sort of fight. I'm just going to move. His move may be just closing down. I mean, it could be. I hope not for his sake, because they're good people over there.
Yeah, this ain't about... I don't want to sound like I'm beating them up. I'm just saying... If we're using common sense here. And I did hear the other day, I don't know if they have a liquor license there or not, but I heard the other day, and I want to throw this with a big air quotes in the studio, allegedly, but it was a pretty good source, and he's not just throwing stuff out there. I don't think they have a liquor license. I think they have a beer permit, and they're letting people BYOB, and they were possibly serving. I think they got a citation for serving liquor without a license the other day.
Okay.
Because there was a thing in Kingfish's article, or in the comments, somebody was saying, well, the state's issued them a liquor license, so that's basically the state co-signing on them being there.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, the state, if they got cited for serving without a license, they didn't have a liquor license. They have a city-issued beer permit.
Is that the way that works? You don't need a state license to sell beer?
You just got to have your tax ID number.
Okay.
There may be a little permit from the state for beer that you get at the tax assessor's office, but, I forget exactly. I know there's a city beer. You got to get beer clearance from the city.
Okay.
Directly.
That parcel there where, the Crawdad Hole is and then I guess the Ag Museum is right around there. Is that the same parcel or how does that work?
That's state owned and the state can do with it as it wishes.
Okay. So the state owns all that, but is it all like considered one parcel where there's a bar exclusion or park exclusion?
I'm assuming there's I haven't looked at the line, but I'm assuming the city, what the, when they gave it to the city of Jackson, they said parks only.
Okay.
And the state owns what it owns, so it can do as it wishes with it.
Right, so like the parcel that Smith Wills on is just the park parcel, and then where like the crawdad hole is something else.
State parcel.
Okay.
Yeah, and I believe they rent that. I know George's Catering has the Museum Cafe, which is right there in that same little strip with the crawdad hole.
Yeah, sure.
And they rent that from the Ag Museum.
Okay.
Which would be the state.
I mean, I'd be honest with you, man. It does seem a little messed up. I mean, if they're going to allow those businesses and you got one there, you know what I mean? And then we had Left Field Lounge. I don't know. It just I can see the city's argument here.
I can't.
You can't?
I can't. I mean, they broke the rules.
Yeah. It seems unfair, though. Why is it? I mean, so there's a bar, which Crawdad Hole is basically a bar. I mean, it's a great place. You go there all the time. And then, you know, there was bars on that site for years that, you know, nobody complained about. So, I don't know.
Well, when you're holding youth ball tournaments.
Yeah.
And it smells like a marijuana farm.
No, that's a different issue, I think.
Over there, allegedly. You know, and there's stuff going on.
I mean, that's about policing the area, I think, and, like, being in compliance. I'm with you there. They should do that. They shouldn't allow, like, drug users hanging out, you know, when there's kids and all that kind of stuff.
But, well, that's the problem with marijuana, right? It's the people that smoke it on a regular basis don't consider, even legally or illegally, let's just say it's illegally if you're doing it outside at a bar on a patio. They don't look at it like that. It's just, it's hashtag for the culture.
Yeah, and, you know, you're right, because there's a, like, I've always it's been pretty clear. I'm a fan of edibles and all things marijuana. I hate it when you go somewhere and somebody's like driving by you in the car and it smells like, you know, they're smoking out. It just seems trashy. You know, you can smoke at your house. Like, that's fine. Like the rest of us.
I don't have a problem. Frankly, I don't have much of a problem with drug use at your house as long as it doesn't affect me. Teach your own. I called unmitigated hell one time for posting a video of a guy riding his bicycle up and down the frontage road, all banged up on heroin. And a buddy of mine filmed it. White guy. And he done fallen over there in front of the Jaguar dealership. My buddy pulls over. He's filming and says, "Hey, buddy, you know, and people are, "Oh, how dare you? How dare you post a picture of somebody in their worst moment?" Like, he got banged up. And when I say banged up, I mean he banged heroin.
Yeah.
And decided to go out in public. I don't care about you when you decide to leave your house. When you're in public, it's like when I see the meth zombies in Jackson at gas stations fighting, screwing, whatever else. If you'll do it in the middle of a public parking lot or on the street, it's a free for all. It's fair game.
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess my point being, so I didn't mean to go down that jump down that rabbit hole.
Yep.
I'm just saying, I don't care what you do in your house. It's none of my business.
Sure.
But when you decide to bring it into a public sphere, it becomes all of our business.
Well, that's why I was saying the part that I do agree with you on is, like, I don't, you know, I obviously have no problem with marijuana. I think it's better than drinking. You've never heard of somebody, like, beating their spouse when they're high. Like, that's not, you know, so there's so many different things, but that's another issue. But I think somebody sitting outside smoking pot when there's kids out there in the ballpark, that I don't like. You know what I mean? I don't think that's just... I don't like them sitting there, you know, getting all drunk either in front of the children. I mean, that just seems like, okay, you keep that inside, or you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and look, I wonder why we're bringing this up, because the rumor is that the particular state legislator that went down there and they kind of kicked all this off, we took his son to a youth ball tournament there in the Smith Wills adjacent area, and there was some kind of wild party going on over there, and there was a strong smell of marijuana, all that stuff, and he just said, "Hey, there's no reason this should be around youth sports."
Yeah,
this is supposed to be for youth sports. This whole nine yards, and, you know, it's a youth baseball stadium, and you got people over here allegedly smoking marijuana, all this other stuff, busting down blunts at a cigar shop. I mean, it's not a hard puzzle to put together.
Yeah, and see, that argument I get. Like, if they were just like if it was just a bar where everybody's inside, like, you know, like a sports bar by the stadium, and there's not, you know, like that kind of thing going on, I think that there probably wouldn't have been a complaint.
Because I'm guessing since you're not allowed to smoke inside the city limits of Jackson, I don't care if you call yourself a smoke shop or not, you had to have a patio, right? It's got a patio.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, it does.
Because otherwise, then you're breaking city ordinance smoking inside.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're a smoke shop or not, you're not allowed to smoke inside.
Aren't you a lot of smoking inside cigar shops and stuff?
No.
Okay, I mean, everyone you can, though.
Well, they're breaking the rules. You're not allowed to smoke inside a building in the city of Jackson.
Okay. I didn't know if there was like a exception for cigar shops, because everyone I've been into, everybody smokes inside. I'm sure anyone that goes to them there.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back. Welcome back into the Clay Edwards Show here on WYAB. This segment is brought to you by Acme Pizza and Daiquiri's, located right out there at Fannin Mart on the Riz. Go see our very own, WYAB's very own, Chip Matthews. Never thought I'd say that. Of course, Chip's got his show here every Monday and Tuesday, coming up here at 9 o'clock, from 9 to 10, right after today's Clay Edwards Show here. Chip will be on the air. I believe you have Timothy Jenkins and Lindsey Beckham in here with him. Those have been the consistent co-hosts for this affair, but that's every Monday and Tuesday. Anyway, get over there, Acme Pizza and Daiquiri's, Fannin Mart on the Riz, best pizza in Rankin County. Open from 4 p.m. to midnight. They got 12 different specialty pizzas, 9 different frozen daiquiris, dynamite balls. Got to try the dynamite balls. Shout out to Jonathan Beard and his wife, restaurant owners, food truck owners. They went over there last night for his wife's birthday and raved about how good it was on social media, posted pictures of all the food. And that's from one restaurant owner to another there, giving props, talked about how great the dynamite balls were. You got to try them. It's pulled pork wrapped around some cream cheese, rolled in some type of batter, deep fried, then drizzled with some barbecue sauce, some sweet baby rays. You can't miss it. Yeah, you can't miss it. You can't go wrong with the dynamite balls. Give them a try today. Acme Pizza and Daiquiri's, available on all major food delivery apps, 4 p.m. to midnight. You get that late night hunger pains get you. Maybe you ate one of those edibles Sean was talking about. Can't quite get to sleep. Hit up the Acme Pizza and Daiquiri's. Don't drive. No edibles and driving.
No,
you can, in fact,
idea.
Ask Angelique Lee. You can, in fact, get a DUI non-alcohol.
That's so funny that people think that, like, now that marijuana is legal medically, that, you know, you could drive still.
All right, so just clarify one thing. You can, in fact, operate a smoke shop. I was wrong. I had no problem admitting when I'm wrong. If you have a ventilator in there, you can, in fact, operate a smoke shop. Yeah, I don't care for smoke shops. I hate the way cigars smell. It's not my thing. I ain't a hater or nothing like that. It just ain't my thing. I don't want to smell it. To each their own. But you can, if you have a ventilator, you can have a smoke shop, which I did not know that, because next time I open up a nightclub, I will just put a ventilator in there and allow smoking inside, which I hate smoking too, but I understand. Have you ever dated somebody that smoked?
Yeah, I mean, I used to smoke about 15 years ago. It's been a long time.
Dating somebody or being married to somebody that smokes is absolutely miserable.
Yeah.
Because they will spend all of their time out on a patio away from you. And at home, hallelujah.
Yeah.
When you're out in public, it sucks. You're sitting at a bar by yourself. You're sitting at a booth by yourself, a restaurant, whatever. And they're outside chugging away. Like, you know, you can't get through 1 hour without 3 cigarettes.
What also drives me crazy is when you're with people that smoke and they want to sit outside at a bar in the summer. And you're like, they're like, it's not that bad. I'm like, it's 95 degrees. I'm not. I have a really good friend, hope he's listening, that does this all the time. He says, it's not too hot. I'm like, it is. You can sit outside.
The person I was about to name just text Corey.
There you go.
And he said, hater. Yeah. Oh, man, we used to go to the Bulldog or everywhere else and had to spend the whole night outside. In his defense, he would usually buy our drinks to sit outside with him to smoke. So I can't really, really complain too much.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's a good trade-off. Depends on what month. I don't know if it's worth it in July, but
July, I mean, let's just be July through September. It about ain't worth it.
Yeah. I'd pay for my own drink, Clay. I'm at that point.
Touche. Yeah. Touche. All right. Shifting gears. While we're talking about Jackson, we'll just hour two, guys, we're going to go heavy, heavy, heavy Trump, Cohen, Biden. We got a lot of national content. We're going to hit hour two. But right now, let's go to something I really should have talked about yesterday, but I'm glad I got Sean here to do it today. Did y'all know that Jackson – well, I'll tell you what. Let's take a break. We ran over really bad that first segment. Let's stay on course here. Let's take a break. When we come back, Jackson Public School students, only 54% of them can read above a third grade level or something to that extent. It's bad, especially when you see the schools around it. It's really bad. But are we really surprised? I, for one, am not. We'll be right back. Welcome back into the Clay Edwards Show here live on WYAB. B, let's jump straight in. JacksonJambalaya.com, Kingfish, put together some exhausting numbers here about JPS students' ability to read, or should we say not read. Barely half of third graders pass reading tests. The reading gate scores are in, and unfortunately, nearly half the kids in Jackson are not reading. JPS third grade reading gate scores plummeted to 54% this year. You read that correctly. Barely half of Jackson's third graders can read at grade level. The results are rather disappointing, as 67% passed the test last year. And I'm just going to run down some quick numbers real quick. The surrounding areas, well, Canton, 62%, the down from 71% in 2022. Clinton, 88%, up from 86% the previous year. Hinds County, 63%, down from 68%. JPS, bringing it up the rear, 54%, down from 67%. Democrats love bringing it up the rear. Madison County, 92%, up from 89%. Pearl, the shining beacon here in the South, 91%, right, basically all but even from 92% the previous year. And Rankin County Schools, 89%, up from 87%. Then it says most of the public school districts saw their scores change by 2 to 3 points. However, Canton's scores fell from 71 to 62. If y'all don't know, Canton Democrats and Jackson Democrats are in a hold my beer competition currently to see who can kill the most and who can read the less. Also, it's worth mentioning, if we're going to break this down by race, comparably, Hattiesburg is 83% black with 8% Latino enrollment, and it's at 79%. It actually saw an increase from 76. Greenville is 97% black, and it's at 61%, down from 65. Sean. Oh, sorry, your mic's not on. Sean, what are your thoughts on this? Now, let me say this real quick.
Yeah.
Frankly, I'm surprised the number's as high as 54%, and I mean that seriously. I'm not being facetious, sarcastic, or anything else. If y'all ever have gone to the Save Jackson Instagram account and read the comments under any of my posts about these fools killing one another, you would be surprised that they can read at a third grade level and that it's only half of them that can't.
Yeah, I mean,
should I read the death threat email again?
If you want to.
Good Lord. Go ahead.
Also, there was one thing here. So the worst Hattiesburg Elementary School scored 70%, better than all but one JPS school and the two JPS Magnet Special Schools. Some interesting things. If you look at Kingfish has got the breakdown of all the elementary schools in JPS. I looked at one thing, and he may know the answer to this. So I'm not sure if this is right here. So I guess in the year before, North Jackson Elementary was at 73%, and then it dropped to 26.8%. How could that have happened? How is that even possible, that kind of a drop?
Kingfish, call in if you want to.
Yeah,
601-879-0002.
That's an incredible, you don't have any percentage drop on that, from 76 to 26. If I'm reading this correctly, and then you look at Green Elementary School, went from 71% to 28.9%. So there's Casey Elementary, went from 70% to 29.5%. So that's just shocking. The dumber group of students, but it's all different elementary schools. Like, how did it drop that much in one year?
If you're the superintendent, do you just slowly pack your bags and fall back into the bushes like Homer Simpson in that meme?
Yeah, I mean, well, and then you look at this here. So Bates Elementary School went from 38% to 61%, and then Boyd went from 44 to 55. But then you go down again and go to Casey, 70 to 29, and then Coswell's 59 to 40. I mean, it's just a crazy. Green Elementary, 71% to 28%. That's insane. I just wonder how all this happened, or maybe Kingfish has an idea.
These are the same people responsible for this that are fighting against school choice.
Yeah.
No, your kids have to go to school with our dummies. They can't go to their own school if they want to learn.
And, it seems to be, obviously, it's by, I guess, I don't know how, what the curriculum is, or who, teachers are in each one of these elementary schools. But, if you look at Span Elementary, 66 to a drop-off of 33% this year.
Kingfish texts in. He goes, the lower numbers are the failure rate.
The failure rate. Okay, gotcha. Right. That's the failure rate?
Yeah.
Thank you. That explains it, because he didn't have that title up there. I thought that was the previous year's score, and now this is your score. Okay.
Gotcha. Well, gotcha.
Thank you for clarifying that. All right. So the failure rate, the highest failure rate is at 62%. Or no, so there's a school, Lesser Elementary, has got a 78% failure rate. Yep.
I mean, look, can we just say it? There's a common denominator here. I know y'all think I'm going to say black. That's not it. It's culture. It's single parent households. It's just all of that rolled into one. I had a girl on my live stream last night tell me that it was poverty. And we talked about some of the other stuff going on around here. And she goes, well, it's poverty. I said, poverty doesn't, you know, people have been poor for a long time, Sean, and they still raised good kids. They still raised smart kids. They still spent time with their kids, doing their homework, helping them with their studies, make sure they got to school on time, all of that type stuff. Being poor and having to work, like most people, middle class people have to work too. Upper middle class people, in fact, have to work, and wealthy people, breaking news here, have to work as well. That's how you maintain the things you have. Don't get me wrong. There's the occasional trust fund baby and housewife that don't have to do it. It is what it is. But generally speaking, most people, two-parent households or single, have to work. You choose to lay down, spread them legs, and have that baby. With that comes responsibility. I don't care if you're 14 or 40. When you have a child, it comes with responsibilities, and that is making sure that they're not turning into the young Taliban out here terrorizing the rest of us, and that they can read and partake in societal norms. And that's not happening in Jackson. That's not happening in the majority of Hines County, to be honest, outside of Clinton. And I really don't even want to throw Byram in there, you know, based on the scores from the Hines County schools. It's just not. No, it's not happening in Canton. But Madison County schools seem to be doing great.
Well, I mean, to me, where kind of you look at just looking at the article and the number breakdown he's got here, where it's not a race issue, is look at Hattiesburg, 79%. And that's a demographic breakup, 83% black and 8% Latino.
Yeah.
So why are they at 79%? So it's not a race thing. It's not, you know what I mean?
No, it's not. It's a leadership issue.
That's what I think. It's definitely a leadership issue.
What Chalkwe and the city council, they hire the superintendent of JPS.
Yeah. I mean, and if we look at the patternalistic, another word he used, look at the pattern of every single facet of this city that has failed because of his leadership. Every single facet. There's not one thing that's actually performing well. And
you will not grow a city if people cannot move here and have good schools.
You can. And what you do also, we talk about our crime problem. If half the kids can't read, what do you think they're going to do in 8 years? You know, what do you think's happening?
Click, clack.
I mean, that's what's going to happen.
I mean, there was a murder last night. It ain't been reported yet.
Clean Eleanor?
Yeah, the hood reporters are reporting it. The street reporters, the ghetto journalists are reporting it. But last night, off Old Canton Road and where?
Oh, there was that one in Rolling Meadows.
Yeah. I can't confirm this, but I have no doubt that it probably happened. If it's being reported by street journalists, a car rolled, was on fire, the guy died, but he was also shot. You know, I can confidently say those kind of things just don't happen in Rankin and Madison County. You know, but it happens in Jackson, and it happens because you have multiple generations of kids growing up just being spat out and thrown out in the street in their little Jordans and fitted hat and sagging pants and wife beaters. 5 years old, looking like a veteran gangbanger out on the corner.
I mean, I think, you can't blame the kids. I mean, if kids aren't learning how to read by third grade.
You're a product of your environment.
Like, that's not, because I always say this, there's no such thing as a bad kid. I mean, I think they just end up evolving in that way. But, you know, you're not even giving them a chance. You can't read at third grade. They don't have any other option. What they're going to do is start committing crimes because they can't read. Not saying that everybody that can't read is a criminal. I don't mean it that way. But your likelihood goes up for sure.
Well, yeah, because you're intimidated. You can't fill out a job application. even if you're going to go operate a forklift, you have to, not knocking forklift drivers, I'm just saying you don't have to do a whole lot of reading, I suppose. Somebody will prove me wrong on that for the sake of it. But even general labor, you've got to be able to read to know what you're, if you're an order selector somewhere, you got to make sure you're pulling the right package.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to be able to read. We shouldn't have to have this conversation.
No. I mean, I'm right. So yeah. It's like the trans conversation when we have it, right? It's just so obvious that like these are basic things. You know, a dude shouldn't play in women's sports, and you need to learn to read. Like these are just, this is where we've devolved as a society. You know, we kind of have a debate about it.
Well, then they've created their own language because they can't read.
Right.
They've taken, like, and y'all can say it's just slang. Bro, it ain't slang. It ain't slang. They, instead of saying the word I don't know, the phrase I don't know, they say I own. I'm telling you, y'all just need to take the time one day, go to my Instagram account at SaveJXN, and just read the comments under one of my videos. And if you don't, because you need to understand what we're talking about. Don't take our word for it, because I get it. This borderline can sound misconstrued as racist. It ain't. If you've read the things that we've read and seen the things that I've seen, this ain't racist. This is realist. And that's the hard problem around here. Y'all don't want to wrap your heads around is somebody's got to tell y'all the damn truth. And the truth is you've created your own language because you can't read ours, America's, societal norms.
Here I was reading from Kingfish's article. So the worst Hattiesburg Elementary School scored 70%, better than all but one JPS school and the two JPS magnet schools. It says students failing the reading proficiency test can retake the test during the summer. Passage is required for advancement to the fourth grade. This begs the question, why did JPS have so many JPS third graders fail the test? Or why did so many JPS third graders fail the test? Here's my question. So if you can't advance to the fourth grade, I guess we just keep all those kids back in the third grade. Does it just become a giant third grade after? I mean, like, they're never learning to read.
You just
like
have
what
a
happens
whole,
then?
You just have a whole third grade school?
Yeah, you have all third grades if you just can't pass the reading test.
We're just saying everybody, Wingfield is now a third grade school.
I mean, it's like a 15-year-old third grader? I mean, do you just sit in third? I don't know how that works at all. I don't have kids, so I'm not sure.
I mean, and this whole third grade reading test has worked everywhere. I mean, it's brought our state scores up.
Yeah.
And there was also this girl in my comments last night that mentioned the poverty thing. She said that Mississippi's poor and Mississippi has bad education. I'm like, well, that doesn't really hold water because everybody else is doing pretty, for the most part, doing okay outside of these predominantly black Democrat areas.
Say that again? Sorry. I was reading one of the things here.
The girl tried to say Mississippi was poor and it was a Mississippi problem.
Mm.
I said, well, why is it only in these predominantly black Democrat areas that there's a problem?
It seems to me that Jackson is the main problem, though, if you look at it, right? We're talking about Hattiesburg, who's 79%, which isn't bad. Yeah. I mean, obviously, Canton's got some issues, too. But
Greenville.
But Greenville's even doing better than Jackson. And the Delta, I mean, God bless folks that live in the Delta. We all know, I mean, the cycle of poverty there and, you know, that kind of environment. But even there, where things are that bad in the Delta, they're doing better than Jackson. So that means they have somebody who has got more sense than Chokwe.
Yeah, they always talk about us being last and everything. If you remove Jackson completely from the statistics, the averages and all that, Mississippi's at worst in the middle of the pack on everything.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, amazingly with high school graduation rates. So they did. Actually, the New York Times ran a series on that last year that was pretty interesting. I mean, how well Mississippi's education advancement has been over the course of the last decade.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's been, I think some things you can correlate to poverty, obviously. But when you look at, I don't know if you can correlate as much to race when you take a place like Hattiesburg, which is doing well. It's just like anything else with this city. It's lack of leadership, like you were saying earlier. It's just lack of leadership. It boils down to the fact that the traffic signals don't work, the crime's out of control, that the water crisis happened, that we can't even fix the garbage situation because we're bickering over contract, the reason the roads are messed up. It all boils down to one thing, and we all know what that one thing is.
Yeah, they blame everything on racism, Sean.
Yeah, I mean, this is...
So if you turn that funhouse mirror back at them, and if you were to dare say any of this has something to do with race... You're suddenly a racist. It just don't make sense. I refuse to play that game with them. We'll be right back. Welcome back in. Sean, I want to read a text we just got from Jake.
Yeah.
This really should just say it all here. He says, LBJ would be proud of how this plan has played out in Jackson, Mississippi. 8 to 10 years ago, WJTV released a study that showed Forest Hill had 130 10th graders that should have been seniors. They even had 5 seniors that were 21 years old, and that was 10 years ago. Sean, we got 5 seconds. I hate to step on your toes. We'll be right back. When we come back, we're leaving Jackson. We're going to Trump land. Stay tuned. You never met a mother trucker quite like me or Sean. Welcome back into the Clay Edwards Show. We're live here on WYAB. Guys, looking for something for lunch today in the Gluckstadt area? How about Johnny's Pizza? Man, look, thanks to Joe Biden and Bidenomics, man, life is hard out there. It's the dollar does not go as far as it once did, but it can go a little bit further over at Johnny's Pizza. How about these lunch specials right here? Any 8-inch one-topping pizza or pizza bowl if you're on a keto diet like your boy here, and a medium drink, $6.99. Sean, you can't get all joking aside, you can't go in a gas station and get a slice of Hunt Brothers for $6.99.
No, no way. I mean,
and I love Hunt Brothers. This ain't a knock, but Johnny's way better. I mean, real talk here.
I mean, in terms of also like fast food, it's the have you gone to like Wendy's recently?
I don't eat fast food.
I don't generally ever either. But I was driving on the coast last week and I was starving, so I stopped and went. Man, it's like for a meal, it's like $13.
I follow this great YouTube channel called The Quartering. Mm-hmm. This guy named Jeremy. Y'all should follow it. He does 8 or 9 little short segment videos a day, and he talks about just all this crazy type stuff. He's more of a centrist than he is like a conservative, but he's definitely not a Democrat, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's left of center on most stuff. Anyway, so I like watching stuff like that, and I like when people like that agree with me on stuff. And anyway, he's been talking about these McDonald's value meals getting up to like $25 in some areas. It's like, and they're just shooting themselves in the foot constantly.
I didn't even know that because I don't eat that kind of food. And so that was just, I just happened to do it. And I was like, oh my God. I was thinking it was going to be like $6 because it's like the last time I probably had a value meal anywhere.
I mean, it was serious 13, conversation. $14. You know, you're sitting there. Okay, this Johnny's Pizza. I didn't mean to turn this into a conversation, but this Johnny's Pizza, you can get an 8-inch Sweep the Kitchen. That's their, I mean, Sweep the Kitchen. It's their kitchen sink. It's got everything on it, right? It's their supreme. Or a pizza bowl and a medium drink for $9.49. Okay, so that's their high end of their lunch to feed a single person. That's a small pizza and a drink. So if you ask Clay, and I love pizza. I mean, pizza. If you ask me my favorite food in the world, it's going to be pizza, fried chicken, steak, flip flop, any combination of that.
Country fried steak.
Come on, I'm lumping that in with steak. Red meat. Red meat. And those are my go-to. I could eat that every day. On any given day, and I'm not eating none of that right now. It's a regular steak anyway. So you can say, Clay, you want to spend $10 on pizza for lunch? Good, made from scratch pizza. Or are you going to go spend $15 on a biggie meal at Wendy's?
That's my point. Yeah,
there's not a burger or a chicken sandwich on that menu. I'm game to pay $15 for with some fries and sugar drink.
And it's not very good. Mm-mm. It's just not good. I mean, that was, like I said, the first time I had it in years. And I was like, this is horrible.
They changed the fries a few years ago, too, over there. It's terrible.
It was not good.
So, Johnny's Pizza, a lot of food for a little bit of money. I'm blown away at how cheap they're.
That's crazy.
I'm not saying this because they're an advertiser here. I'm blown away that you can go anywhere now and get a lunch for $6.99.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Our favorite restaurants we like to eat at, I mean, it's hard to get out of there for less than $20, especially if you get something other than water to drink.
Yeah, it is. It's tough. Lunch is expensive.
It is. I mean, you got a really light lunch to go eat a good plate lunch somewhere nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, you got to. I mean, that's why I don't go out to eat lunch every day, you know, just like I'll go hang out with y'all or something. That's about it.
Yeah. Get over to Johnny's, man. They're located right there in front of the Mack Height dealerships in Gluckstadt, right over by Germantown High School. Can't miss them. Great place. Good folks, man. I told that story about me rolling in there 15 minutes before they closed one night, and I always try not to be that guy because I worked in the restaurant business for so long. And I was like, guys, I need 2 large pizzas. I hate to do it to you right before you close here. I know y'all are cleaning up. Man, they did it with a smile on their face. And
at least it's good. And, you know, like that's a thing. Like, what I was mad about Wendy's was you know, I count my macros, workout. Well, yeah. If I'm going to ruin my, like, have my little cheat meal, you know, you want it to be good. Like, I don't want it to be crap. I'm like, man, I just wasted 2,000 calories on this BS.
Man, we decided to cheat Saturday night, and we went out to Madison to the, what's that? It's not Steam Room, but it's the place you get oysters and all that stuff. They got one in Flowood.
Oh, the Half Shell?
Half Shell.
Yeah.
Yeah, we went to Half Shell out there. Great, great service. Great experience and all that. And we just ended up getting the Bang Bang, their version of the Bang Bang shrimp.
Yeah.
There was like the Comeback Bang Bang or whatever. And then we got a bowl of their shrimp and grits and just split it. I mean, if you're going to cheat, voila.
That's what you want to go with.
There, voila. Right? And we ended up kind of hitting a few places in Madison I'd never been to. We went down to the Briar Patch at Livingston. We went to that Mexican restaurant right there next to it, Plato Feliz. Super, super nice. Peeked our head in, looked at the new Martins that they're putting out there. Golly, I've got some pictures, but I don't want to share them because I think y'all just need to wait and be surprised at the what's going on out there when they put that new Martins there. And then we hit up one of our new sponsors here, Parlor 1883 in Flowood. Nice little bar. Kind of chill spot.
It's in Flowood?
Flora, right here on Main Street.
Okay, cool.
Really, really neat. Parlor 1886, not 1883.
I don't know that I've actually ever been into Main Street Flora before.
Man, it's right next to the Railroad Pizza, which they're not a sponsor on this show, but they got great, phenomenal pizza as well.
Really?
Love those folks over there. Shout out to them. So a lot of group, man. It was just nice to get out of Rankin County for a minute and do the little Madison County tour of bars and restaurants. Nice change of scenery. This ain't a knock on Rankin County at all, but there's a level of, I don't know, my inadequate vocabulary here, my JPS education here, I don't have a better word, so just say it's just nicer.
Yeah,
it's just nicer. It's just like everything is, for the most part, it's like they go in, they completely gut and redo these places. And the little Briar Patch thing, it's a brand new building that's built to look old. That Mexican restaurant used to be the County Seat Steakhouse. I mean, it's just gorgeous in there. Lots of attention to detail. The Parlor 1886 is all built from scratch, brand new. And don't get me wrong, I love the character of an old place. I get it. My bars were always like that. And we really focus on the character of the old place. But, man, it was just nice little change of scene. The crowd all looks different. It looked like I beamed straight from Rankin County to over there wearing like a plaid country western style shirt. And we go in the Briar Patch, and all the guys are wearing their little polos. They look like they were at a frat bar in Ole Miss. You know, no knock on that, but it's just like there's a big difference socially between Rankin and Madison County.
Yeah.
And then, of course, in Jackson, it's all different there as well.
Yeah,
so it's funny. You can visually see the difference.
Yeah.
Whether you think you can or not.
Though, you know, Jackson, I was at they had a lot of stuff going on this weekend with the Fertile Ground had their 2-year anniversary, the brewery, which I went to that, which was really fun. And then there was Cathead had another crawfish boil, so they got those things kicking. And man, I'll tell you what, in Bellhaven, there's a lot of folks that are out on that little district that they built there. It's really, really.
And you could definitely look at a white Jacksonian and know that you're in Jackson.
Yes, yes, you can.
They don't look anything like the Madison and Rankin County folks. I mean, everybody's got their own little thing going on.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not hating on any of it. I think it's all neat and enjoy yourselves and do what you do. But you know, if you're in Jackson and you keep voting for Chalkway, you get what you deserve.
Yeah,
I'm gonna throw that out there.
Yeah, no.
All right, I didn't plan on spending 10 minutes talking about my adventures of the weekend, but as life goes. Sean, as I got off the air yesterday, some massive breaking news hit.
Mm-hmm.
And Robert Cohen had to admit under oath that he, in fact, stole $30,000 from the Trump Organization.
Yeah, Michael Cohen, yeah.
Michael Cohen. Do you want to set this up and kind of explain to people why this is relevant? I mean, because there's been a suspicion for a while that Cohen may have actually been sleeping with Stormy, and it was him paying her off to keep her mouth shut about him.
I haven't heard that one, but you know, I just I'll tell you exactly what I think about this. First of all, I've said this. The first show I was ever on with you, I said this is the stupidest case in the world. I mean, it's just legally, I don't think it's correct because he's indicted on a state crime with falsifying business records, which is a misdemeanor, and they're tacking it to a federal campaign finance violation, which I don't know that they've ever done that before. I've even listened to other legal analysts say that they can't see a time when that's happened. So anyway, so their case is, Clay, as we've talked about endlessly, is about Donald Trump slept with Stormy Daniels, then paid her off, get her signed an NDA. All this stuff is legal to do, right? I mean, this is, and look, yes, do I believe that happened? I absolutely do. Do I care or do I think it's illegal? No, I don't, right? So let's just start off with that. But what the prosecution has really destroyed their, which was a stupid case anyway, but they've made it worse. And what I mean by that is this. So Michael Cohen's got all this baggage. We know that. He's got all this baggage. He's lied. He's been convicted for lying for Congress. I think he got convicted on a fraud on a mortgage on his home, something like that. And he did something with taxi medallions. He's just a, you know, he's a nefarious character. Okay.
The taxi medallions are an interesting thing, just on a whole other topic.
Sure, yeah.
In New York, and then Uber's come in and made them things worthless.
Right, and I didn't know anything about taxi medallions until I heard about Michael Cohen, obviously not from New York, and I remember back when that happened, I was reading about it. You're right, it is interesting. But so there's all this stuff where Michael Cohen is promoting himself and is, you know, being so anti-Trump, and has made a bunch of money off this. He's, you know, had some book sales and he's had a podcast. He's made about $4 million being
shirts.
Anti-Trump shirts. His tick, he's like you. He loves TikTok and he's anti-Trump on TikTok. And, you know, he's always talking about, you know, can't wait till you rot in prison on TikTok and all this. That just gives you obviously the witnesses biased in the case, you know. And so he gets up, the state, the prosecution finishes their direct examination of him, and then I think his name is Todd Blanche, who's the Trump's lawyer, you know, asks him about all these questions about the payoff. And one part of the payoff, what was interesting was there was money that was going back to Cohen from the money that he gave Stormy, but there was also an additional $50,000 he was supposed to pay to a tech company called Red Tail, I think it was, and he only gave them $20,000 of it. You know, in a brown paper bag, and he kept the $30,000. And then they asked him, they're like, "Mr. Cohen, so you stole $30,000 from the Trump Organization?" And he's like, "Yes, sir." And they're like, "Okay, I mean, did you ever get charged with grand larceny?" He's like, "No, sir." So here's my point with this, Clay. This is, you know, having prosecuted for so long, when you have a witness that, you know, the state knew this, prosecution knew all these things, right? That's the dumbest part about this. You need to make the jury trust you when you're trying to put somebody in jail and trust your case, trust you. You need to be honest with them. They should have put this out there on their direct examination and just let it, like, hey, this is like, Mr. Cohen, you know, you obviously don't like Donald Trump, correct? Yes, I don't. You know, you've made TikToks. You've made money off of this. You actually stole some money, you know, based upon this. I would have got that out there so the jury would have trusted me in my case and, hey, I'm telling you how bad my witness is. He's bad. He's not good. Instead, what they decide to do is hide it, let the come out and cross, and then they got to do a redirecting examination of Cohen to try to fix it, which I always say is so stupid because you can't defuse a bomb after it's already gone off. Like, I mean, it's insane. So they've messed up their own case. And what's dumber about it, too, is that I think the jury and most of America, whether you feel about it or not, already thought that Trump had slept with Stormy and that they'd paid her to be quiet. Most people don't care about that. I know you don't. I don't care about that. But now what you've done is cloud the issue so much that people are like, well, maybe Trump didn't know she got paid off.
Clouds on a stormy day.
Yeah. So now you've got the jury confused where it's like it seems like they don't know that Trump knew that Cohen paid her off. That's the kind of analysis I've been listening to. That so like there's reasonable doubt about whether Trump knew that Cohen was going to pay her off anyway. Well, that's the stupidest thing in the world that they've messed up that bad, their case up that bad, to put it in that context. They already had really, really thin legal issues on this case. Now they've
yet to announce what the second crime was to try to make this a felony.
Yeah, I mean it's just. And so now they've made their star witness, obviously look like they were hiding things from the jury on him. And now they, in the mind of the jury, they're like, well, maybe Donald Trump didn't know, you know? So I've told you this since the beginning. I told this a year ago. I don't know that this is just a guilty verdict. I think they're going to hang or they're going to walk him is kind of what I've been saying for the last year.
Well, I've been so trained. I told you this in a text the other day. I've been so trained to set myself up for whatever disappointment is. And never underestimating the Trump derangement syndrome that's eaten up the white liberal in North America, especially in places like New York. But I mean, you have to think that if you're in that jury, if you have an iota of self-respect about you, there's no way you can look at this objectively and say he's guilty.
Now, I think also, you know, there's two lawyers on the jury. I don't know if you, did you know that? Mm-hmm. There's two lawyers on the jury, and I don't know what their political persuasions are, but I have a feeling that they're going to have to look at this. And they're, you know, every time people always say when you're picking a jury, like, you don't want a lawyer. I always felt differently. I thought it helped because you had so many. I mean, it depends sometimes what kind of lawyer they are, but you know, you have people that aren't used to the law, and sometimes when you have a lawyer there, they can help explain it. Like the death penalty case I tried, we put a lawyer on the jury, and at that time they're like, well, do you think that's a good decision? I said, it's a complex case. This guy's going to be good for us. Of course, he ended up being the foreman and bringing the death verdict in. So that was, you know, that's always been my experience, that it's good to have a lawyer on the jury to do those kinds of things. But so I think that they'll probably be able to discern it for the other members of the jury pretty well. And if they're just not completely, you know, biased one way or the other, I think the only outcome that you could come with here is probably an acquittal, based on what I'm seeing. But I don't know. I mean, they could, Clay, you know, you never know what 12 people are going to do, I would say. Like, so they could sit there and they could say something like, we don't, just all 12 Trump haters, and they don't care what the evidence is. I mean, that's a possibility. That could
happen. Well, that's where my head's at. Let's take a break real quick. When we come back, we got Jerry on hold, and we got a lot more to peel back on this onion. The judge is embarrassed. And he kicked the jury out of the courtroom so he could unload on MAGA lawyer. We got that and more. We'll be right back. Welcome back into the Clay Edwards Show. This segment brought to you by Guns and Gear. Get over to Guns and Gear today for all of your gun, ammo, Cerakoting, and gunsmithing needs. Located right there on Highway 51 North in Gluckstadt, Mississippi, right at Yandell Road. If you go ahead north and you pass the fire station, you went too far, my friends. It's right there on the right if you're heading north, right next to Smokehouse Barbecue. Man, we got one of those in Rankin County. So the one in Madison is very, very – Madison County is very good. Stop by. Try it while you're there. Buy some guns. Visit with Hunter and the team. They got Freedom Seeds on special all the time. No limit. Ammo purchases, the whole nine yards. Stop by, see them today. Shop them online 24/7, 365. GunsInGearMS.com. That's Guns and Gear. All right, let's go to the Mazda Jackson phone line. We've had him sitting on hold. We got Jerry on the line. What's up, brother?
Not much, man. How are y'all?
Doing good.
Yeah, Sean, I think you are giving too much credit to the profession of being a lawyer on the jury. Because isn't Alvin Bragg a lawyer?
Yeah, of course. Of course he is.
Okay. Isn't the judge a lawyer?
Yeah.
Okay. Is Fannie Willis a lawyer?
I mean, Jerry, if you're going to say that there's messed up lawyers, I'm not going to debate you on that. I mean, there's pretty examples here locally.
No, I'm just saying that the law does not matter to these people, and they were not kicking. They were berating a witness. A judge is taking the cross-examiner stance. So, I mean, anybody outside of, you know, liberalism that I hate Trump, which is, you know, 90% of Manhattan, basically, but that's it. But that's what, when you said that, I'm like, what does that matter?
Well, I mean, I can tell you from personal experience, having put lawyers on the jury and coming back with guilty verdicts as the foreman, that to me is a difference. Sometimes it's good to have a lawyer on the jury to kind of explain the issues.
It'd be good to have somebody who could read and write that didn't go to, you know, a Columbia Law School, probably, or Harvard Law School, because you actually can read the Constitution and see what's going on. I mean, that's my whole thing. A GED, I'd rather have a GED education with a bricklayer
on
my jury than a lawyer.
You rang?
Yeah, that's me. Hey, no, that's me too. I mean, come up, because you can say, dude, this is bullshit. Bull stuff, excuse me. But anyway, I just like, oh, my God.
You're paying the fine for that, by the way, Jerry. You're paying the FCC fine for that right now. We're going to bill you.
Well, I didn't say it. I said stuff. But y'all, you know, I caught myself. I have it on recording. Y'all have it on. It'll be on a podcast later. That's off of, I don't know, the death threats.
Oh, my goodness.
Is there FCC fine for that?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so, right?
Uh-huh.
For death threats?
No, for cursing there, isn't there?
For saying stuff?
No, uh-huh. I thought you said the whole thing. I heard you say the whole load.
No, you didn't.
You didn't?
No, I didn't make it out. I said most stuff. I almost did. I caught myself. But, hey, you said load. I'm just kidding. Have fun, man. I don't have a lot of faith in the jury up there. Thank you, man.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Somebody texted in and said the sound is screwing up bad, but that's probably got more to do with where you're at, or maybe you're streaming or stuff. So I don't know. Seems to be going good on our end.
Yeah.
I have a machine over here that tells me how everything works, and it seems to be working fine. So maybe we want to close out and and restart whatever you're doing if it's not on the radio. All right, let's see here. We got a few more minutes.
Yeah,
Jerry. Thank you for calling in, Jerry.
Well, so what's going to happen now? The defense had called a witness, that Robert Costello, I think that's his name, Robert Costello, yesterday. That kind of went south with the judge or something. I don't know exactly what happened. They got into an argument over, I guess, his behavior, and the judge got mad. Whatever. He's now they're probably going to rest this morning, the defense is, and I don't think they're going to call Trump. I wouldn't call him if I were them. I mean, I don't think that's a good idea. Call him the witness stand, and then they'll do closing arguments next week. They're going to give the jury a long break over the weekend because they don't have they take Wednesday as the break day in that trial, and so they're just going to give them Thursday and Friday, and obviously Monday's Memorial Day. So they'll do closings on Tuesday morning, next Tuesday.
Yeah, the judge did come out and say that the trial will be over next week, right?
That's what he said. Yeah, it should be.
Well, I mean, that screws up Joe Biden. I mean, he said, Donald, I heard you free on Wednesdays, pal.
That kind of leads us into our next topic about that Daily Beast article I sent you last night.
We're going to get to that. I want to carry on one more thing here, okay, real quick. Cool. What do you think about this nut job judge? The fact that his daughter is clearly funneling money to him through Democrat, the fact that she's a Democrat strategist, marketing firm or whatever, and all these big Democrats are paying her millions of dollars to basically funnel to her dad to prosecute this case. A lot like, frankly, they have a racket very similar to the Biden family racket. And this trial judge has the audacity to kick the jury, not the jury, the media out of the courtroom just so he could unload on good God-fearing MAGA attorney yesterday that did such a good job cross-examining Michael Cohen. This judge, here's a story of the Daily Beast. The judge overseeing Donald Trump's criminal trial in Manhattan suddenly sealed his courtroom Monday afternoon, kicking all reporters out so he could engage in a brawl. I don't know if y'all seen this little girly man. He ain't engaging in any brawls. Not engaging in a brawl. Anyway, I make myself laugh sometimes at the things I can't say. So he could engage in a brawl with Robert Costello, a MAGA friendly attorney. They say MAGA in a disparaging way, like somehow it's going to turn us off or something. In a MAGA friendly lawyer who played a key role in attempted back channel between Michael Cohen and Trump White House in 2018. But they always just got to throw in that little salt. After Costello, a former prosecutor was reprimanded for delivering outbursts in the courtroom whenever he was interrupted or told not to answer a question that he had been objected to or sustained. Costello began to stare down the judge. Mr. Costello, I would like to discuss proper decorum in my courtroom, okay? Judge Juan Merchan said after ordering the jury out of the courtroom. Right, Costello replied. Merchant then told Costello the witnesses on the stand cannot act out if they don't like a judge's ruling. All right, I'm not going to read all that, but Sean, what do you think about that kind of stuff? Apparently, he had stared at the judge when he reprimanded him or something. The judge got a little sand in his vajayjay and decided to kick everybody out and reprimand him for basically emasculating him.
I thought what I read before was that he said something under his breath to the judge, like everything the judge would say sustained. He said kind of like BS or something to that effect. I think that's right. Look, I'll tell you this one thing about judges. You never know what's going to make them mad, and I've seen that happen many times, so I don't know exactly what the reasons are, if it was justified or not, so I can't comment on that because there's not really any real-time reporting, and I mean, there's no cameras in the courtroom, there's kind of real-time reporting, but it seemed the judge, for whatever reason, got mad at this guy for being rude to him. Whether that was legitimate or not, I don't know, but that seems to be what the issue was.
When was the last time a judge had their ass kicked?
I ain't gonna comment on that. I don't know. I don't know, man.
I mean, I'm serious. Like, can you think of a time? Like somebody caught one slipping at the country club at
the
bar. I
hope that doesn't happen.
Put that pimp hand on their face.
No, I don't think that's a good. I'm not gonna encourage that.
I think this one's got it coming.
Man, I get it. You know, I've seen, unfortunately, yeah, I've seen judges, you know, throughout the country, not locally or anything, but, you know, killed over cases. So, I think that's just, that, you know, not a good thing, obviously.
You think this judge has got Secret Service protection?
I don't know. I don't doubt it. But, I mean, I'm sure he's got, you know, court protection somehow, his bailiffs or whatever, maybe the sheriff's department, whatever that contingent is in Manhattan. I don't know. Something. I'm sure he has some sort of protection.
Yeah, I'm just saying. We're going to get back to a point in this country where there's real accountability for corruption. And I don't think we're too far away. Let's, you got something to say?
No, go.
No. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. Welcome back into the Clay Edwards Show. Guys, let's see here. Stonington Farm. They'll be back up here in the next week or so. Get your orders in now. StoningtonFarm.com. StoningtonFarms.com with two N's. 100% grass-fed, 100% grass-finished, Mississippi-raised beef. So good. Get your order in today. mRNA-free, steroid-free, antibiotic-free. Some of the best beef you'll ever eat. Hands down, the best ground beef you'll ever eat. Be sure to get some of that bone broth. There's so much you can do with that. I've been using mine more and more and more as I'm diving further into keto stuff again and trying to make stuff other than just steak. That bone broth is a nice, nice additive, nice flavor additive. Check them out. Stonington Farm. It is StoningtonFarm.com. It does not have an S on the end of it. Stonington with two N's, farm.com. Sean, let's take a phone call here real quick before we jump in on the Mazda of Jackson phone line. Hey, you're on there.
Hey, Clay.
Hey, brother.
I'm calling about Jackson Police Department.
Okay. What you got?
I just had a man pull an automatic weapon on me, a rifle.
Where at?
He was trespassing on the property, and so I asked him to leave. He wouldn't, so I pulled out a can of pepper spray. I didn't spray him. He said, don't spray me. So he slowly walked off, and he pulled out a weapon on me, a real one. Jackson Police Department, I'm not willing to do anything to this guy. Says, because you pulled out pepper spray, didn't spray him, but the guy says I did, you're not going to do anything.
So let's understand this. He's trespassing.
Correct.
You threaten to spray him with pepper spray. He threatens to spray you with bullets.
Correct.
And JPD won't do anything.
No. They came, they showed up, they said, here, get out and file a complaint if you want.
I am unfortunately beginning to have a sharp change of opinion on the current leadership there because I think they're so handcuffed by Chakwe that I think a lot of what we're seeing in the media is lip service and not action.
Sir, did he try to, did he point the gun at you?
Yes.
Did he like say, I'm going to shoot you or anything like that?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you possibly that's an attempted aggravated assault. You could go file a private affidavit against him. Get out of the city. If you know who he is.
I do. Well, they've taken the information now.
Okay. Yeah, you can go down there. I go down there and check on it.
Okay.
Appreciate you, brother. Stay safe out there. Spray them next time. Don't threaten to. Just do it.
Yeah.
That's my advice. Don't take legal advice from me, though. I'm a crazy person.
I listen to you frequently. I like the show.
Appreciate you, brother. Stay safe.
All right, man.
Hi. You too. Yeah, I'm a crazy person. Take no legal advice from me at all. I'm just saying. I'm always waiting for that opportunity. I got the slapjack, I got the tire tool, I got the guns, I got the pepper spray, I bought the girlfriend some pepper spray. I'm like just sitting back, wishing a MF or Wood, spinning around in circles.
Don't call the law offices of Clay Edwards. Edwards and Associates.
You're gonna go from self-defense to being a defendant real quick around me. So, Sean. Joe Biden, I'm so glad you sent me this last night because I wasn't going to read it initially. I saw it and I was like, I'm not clicking that clickbait nonsense. I'm not doing it. And you said you got to read this. I'm like, all right. So Joe Biden, guys, Sean and I agree on something when it comes to national politics here. And we've been doing it more and more here lately, so it's kind of scary. It tells you where America's really at outside of the hardcore Democrat enclaves. Joe Biden insists that he was vice president during the pandemic and was sent by Obama to fix it in Detroit.
Yeah.
Now, the White House has come out. They've actually updated the headline.
I have not seen the response to this. Okay.
The White House has come out, and they insist that Biden meant recession when he said pandemic.
What?
Yeah, so that Obama sent him to Detroit to fix the recession.
The auto crisis at that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Biden said pandemic. Bro, those aren't the same thing.
I think he actually said things specific to the pandemic.
He did say things specific to the pandemic. Let's just accept that we agree that he's dealing with dementia.
Well, I read it and I listened to a video clip of it actually too. I think I may have sent you that also. But I didn't take that. And also, the thing is, the mayor that he's talking about, if you read that whole article, wasn't elected until 2013. So that was after the recession and the auto crisis that was going on in Detroit.
And he was not mayor during the H1N1 crisis either.
He was not. So he was not at all. So he
or COVID.
Mm-mm. So, I mean, you know, I don't know what he wouldn't have been mayor anyway during the auto bailouts and all that stuff. So no. I don't know what the White House is talking about there, because that doesn't make any sense. Because he said specifically, I guess maybe need to catch the audience up, that he knew Duggan, the guy's what, Mike Duggan, I think is his name.
Yes.
And he said, and he probably got sick of seeing me, you know, during all that. But, you know, we worked together. But wait a second here. I mean, he wasn't mayor during the auto bailouts and all that stuff.
I got Joe's direct quote here.
Yeah, go ahead.
It said, when I was vice president, things were kind of bad during the pandemic, the president said. Let's see here. It does say the story has been updated to include a transcript from the White House. But to read a little bit of the story, it says, President Joe Biden bizarrely claimed on Sunday that he was still serving as VP during the pandemic, though an amended transcript of his remarks distributed by the White House indicate it may have been a simple slip of the tongue, and the president had meant to reference the Great Recession. Speaking at a dinner for the NAACP Detroit, Michigan, Biden went on a tangent, proclaiming he was on the ground in the state to help out at the request of former President Barack Obama. Quote, and when I was vice president, things were kind of bad during the pandemic, pal, Biden said. Okay, he didn't say pal. I added that part. And he said, quote, and what happened was, Biden continued, Barack said to me, Joe, pal, go to Detroit and help fix it. Well, the poor mayor, he spent more time with me than he thought he was ever going to have to. God love you. The White House official transcripts following the president's remarks include a strike through the word pandemic, instead replacing it with the word recession. Bro, they get up there and lie every day. They all do. This one especially. Joe is dealing with some real mental issues. They can't hide it anymore.
There's a video of this. I mean, there's a video of this.
There's videos of it every day.
Yeah, but I think this was the most, you know, all the, you know, Biden's a gaffe machine. Everybody's been saying it before he was president, when he was vice president. But, I mean, this was one of the most egregious examples of it, I thought, where he completely didn't know what, you know, what time frame he was talking about and what event he was talking about. Because I guess you could infer that he meant the auto crisis, but then he's talking about he was hanging out with this Duggan who wasn't elected during that time, wasn't even mayor of Detroit.
But it's like the time that he was talking about, was it a Congress lady or somebody that had been dead for a minute and at a dinner or something anyway.
Yeah, I mean, right. I mean, it's just obvious to everyone that he's not, you know, he ain't dealing with the full deck. I mean, I think we've kind of seen that, but the
let's jump ahead. He's not going to be the candidate, is he? For the first time, you're truly in this camp.
Yeah, you and I were talking about that last night. Once I saw this, I said, man, this is really bad. And then last night I watched the first Trump and Biden debate, just kind of a little bit of it, and if you watch that, you can see the difference of him then and now. He didn't seem 100% sharp, but he didn't seem like he does now during that debate. He's not the same guy, man. And then I looked up the USA Today, and they had I sent it to you, I think, and it was a liberal author, and he even said, you know, Biden, I mean, you need to drop out. Like, this is apparent to everybody. And I think the media is obviously trying to push him that way. But so here's what's going to happen in my mind. We're going to see this debate on June 27th. And, you know, if he just performs horribly, which I don't know how maybe he's going to take Adderall and do well like he did there in the State of the Union. Who knows? It's going to determine a lot. I mean, because people keep saying there's not enough time. There's plenty of time. What they can do is he can step out and they can pick somebody at the convention. That can happen.
I agree. I mean, and you're going to have such coverage of this that it's not like people aren't going to know that he ain't on the ballot.
Yeah.
I mean, the homeless guy living in a poop encampment in San Francisco is going to know that Joe Biden ain't on the ballot. Right. They're going to make good and sure that everybody knows that they've changed out the candidate. That is not going to be an issue.
100%. I mean, you know, David Axelrod, who was one of Obama's top advisors, I listen to a lot, he even said it the other day. He said, you know, the reason he's going to lose this election is his own pride. Like, it's becoming to the point where it's based on his own pride, where he doesn't want to quit, or wants to keep going because he believes that he's the only person that could beat Donald Trump. Well, that's not true. He's a person that's definitely going to lose, because, I mean, if you look at I love polling, and I look at it all the time. It reminds me, 2020, the polls were, you know, heading the way for Biden, and the mood of the country was bad. The mood of the country right now is really bad. It's really bad.
You know, because I hate Biden, I'm kind of like a Democrat with Trump. You know, you just want to see him get arrested. I get it. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to see whatever the worst thing to happen to your enemy happen. I understand that. I really do. In my mind, it would be great to see Biden have to quit because I think he's a piece of crap, and I think it would be a great way for him to go out in shame, having to quit. However, when your enemy is beating their own butts, sit back and let them. And I think the best thing that could happen is just let this train roll right on down the tracks, and it's Biden v. Trump. I do not want to give the Democrat Party a shot of adrenaline.
Well, if I was you and I was a big Trump supporter, I would want Joe Biden to run for all the way.
Absolutely.
Agree with you. Yeah, yep. Because, I mean, if you look at anybody's looking at the polling stuff, let's look at the demographic groups. Trump has gained with African-American supporters. Biden in 2020 was plus 83 with them. Now he's plus 61. Trump is beating him with voters under 35, which is a group that Republicans have never won before. It's the only group that Trump's hurting with is women voters. That's it. Like every other group is Hispanic voters. They're about even. It's numbers that nobody has ever seen before. The way I sent you guys a map about, you know, what I looked at, like with a possible electoral count breakdown of this. I mean, it's going to be a massacre if we're looking at these same kind of numbers in the fall, like in that are going on with the swing states and everywhere else. Because, I mean, Biden's going to lose Arizona. He's going to lose Nevada. He's most likely going to lose Michigan. He's going to lose Pennsylvania. He's going to lose Georgia. It's going to be a wipeout. So, yeah, if I was you, I'd want him to be on the ticket because, you know, the Democrats go in the convention and they pick somebody else, whoever that person is. It's going to give them a shot, you know, like a shot of adrenaline. It's going to give some independent voters that are not really comfortable with Biden, his age, his mental acuities, some stuff. So, yeah, they have a better shot. But, yeah, you guys should be, like, donating to Biden's campaign right now. You just need to – you should write a Clay Edwards Show donation.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think Gavin Newsom is a piece of human feces but he's a good communicator, and he's such a better communicator than Joe Biden that even if what he is communicating is an absolute bold-faced lie, he does it so convincingly that I think it's dangerous for us. Let's take a break, come back, land the plane for the day. The Clay Edwards Show with Sean York-Caron here on WYAB. We got a couple minutes left. I apologize to the caller we left stranded on hold there. Just ran out of time. Do apologize. I want to thank Jerry for calling in this morning. I want to thank our other caller for calling in, telling us about his issue with JPD. Sean, thanks for coming in on Tuesday.
Sure, man.
Just felt like this was too heavy of a story to wait to Wednesday to talk about. But God knows by tomorrow, who knows what will happen.
Yeah, I think they're just going to rest today, and then we'll probably next week they'll do closing arguments, and we'll see how long that jury stays out. You know, if they come back with a verdict or not, they may hang up. That's another possibility.
What a wild ride we're on.
It's going to be crazy. I'm telling you, that acquittal. If they come back in acquittal, like it that, I think that, I mean, Trump bumps up by 3 to 4 points if that happens. I think at least.
Well, because they really, really wanted to be able to run with convicted felon. They just want to be able to say, they want to be able to beat you up with convicted felon.
Well, and there was this polling that, you know, if he's convicted, it's going to make his support go down. But I mean, they've never done polling on if he's acquitted. What's that going to do? I mean, he's going to ride around town like a Roman emperor at that point. You know what I mean? Like, it's just going to be, I mean, you can think about it. Like, if he's acquitted, I mean, the kind of political capital that gives him is pretty amazing.
Oh, I mean, they literally used real witches. They call it a witch hunt in Atlanta. And here, they use two real witches to come after him with a witch hunt. Stormy claims to be a witch, and the court reporter in Atlanta claims to be a witch. Real talk, guys. We'll see you tomorrow. Sean, thank you. Chip Matthews up next here on WYAB.